All right, this morning I'm going to preach a message on some fish in the local church. Some fish in the local church. Turn to Habakkuk, if you will, in the Old Testament. Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk refers to the invasion of the land of Judah by the Chaldeans. And we're fixing to read, we'll read chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. And we'll try to preach a short message here on some fish in the local church. Okay, Habakkuk 1:12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto the net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? I want you to notice verse 14, and make us men as the fishes of the sea. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy and long suffering toward us. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for our sins. I thank you, Father, for all your many blessings, the love and your mercy and your grace, and especially your long suffering toward me, Lord. I pray now that you'd help me, Lord, to preach this message, Lord, in power and authority. I pray that you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit of God so I can. I pray, Father, that you'd use it for your honor and your glory. It's going to be going on the internet, Lord. I pray, Father, someone out there, Lord, to hear it and get something from it to edify them and stir them up, Lord, and bless them and help them to, in these last days, to serve Thee and live for Thee. Thank you again for your love and everything you've done for us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Like I say, people here is likening the fish. And in the Bible, several times people are likened to animals. Jesus was talking to Herod, and he said, "Go and tell that fox," referring to Herod. Blessing his sons, Jacob, in Genesis 49:17, says, "Dan shall be a serpent by the way, and an adder in the path, and biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward." So people are likened to animals in the Bible, and here we have people likened to fish. And I want to preach a message this morning on some different types of fish that we have here in the local churches. Not just this church, but a lot of churches all over this country, just about every church has got these type of fish in them. And if it's any size at all, they got these fish in them. Now, there's three catches of fish in the Bible. Jesus told Peter to go fishing. And the first fish that he caught would have tax money in it. And, of course, that come to pass. That's exactly what he did. He caught a fish and had the tax money in it and paid their taxes. I wished I could go to the river and catch some fish and pay my taxes. I expect the taxes nowadays is a whole lot higher than it was back then. But I don't know, you figure inflation and all that stuff. Anyway, another time in the Bible, after fishing all night with his own, on his own, catching without catching anything, Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep and drop his nets. This is in Luke 5:1-7. And he did. He had done what the Lord said, and he filled two boats full. Then another time, after Jesus' resurrection, Peter said, I go fishing. And all the rest of them, they said, I go too. You know, so they all went fishing. They fished all night. Couldn't catch anything. And Jesus was on the bank, and they told them, you know, they said, they didn't know what was wrong. They didn't catch any fish, you know, all night. He said, you're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. So they threw the nets on the other side of the boat. When they did that, they had so many they couldn't hardly get them in. That's in John 21:2-11. If you want to read it sometime. And there's a lot of jokes about fishing and about people fishing, you know. One man is telling another man about a big fish he caught. Said he had to reel him in with a winch. And he had to get a crane to put him on the back of a truck. Said there wasn't any scales around. So he took a picture of it. And the picture weighed 11 pounds. So people got all kind of jokes about it. A man took his wife on a fishing trip, and after they returned, his wife told her neighbor, said that she'd done everything wrong today. The neighbor said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I talked too loud, I used the wrong bait, I reeled in too soon, and I caught more fish than he did. So that's the way it is. All right, the first fish we want to look at is a catfish. There's plenty of catfish around here in the river. I used to go fishing a lot. I don't go anymore, but there's plenty of catfish around. They'll bite anything. Worms, they'll bite worms, mush, and cut bait, shrimp, and they thrive in sewage. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, I went over to a little place over in North Belmont where my first cousin was living. And we decided we were going to go fishing. So we went over this lake. It's over right close to Catholic College over there, close to Belmont there. And we went out there and we started fishing. Boy, we was catching one right after another, really reeling them in. And we had a long stringer of fish. So we took that thing. We was proud as we could be for all the fish we caught. We carried them things over to my cousin's house and in the backyard there and started cleaning. And we just cleaned them things. You know, you got to usually take them and drive a nail in their head on a board, and then you cut them around there, and then you grab a hold of some pliers and pull them off and skin them, and then cut them and fillet them. But anyway, we was working on that, and his daddy walked out. He said, what you going to do with that fish? So we're going to catch them. Are we going to eat them? He said, well, where'd you catch them at? And we told him where we caught them at, right behind the Catholic College. And after he told us what was in that lake, we decided we wasn't going to eat them. We threw them all away. Come find out it was a sewage lake. It comes from up there at the college. I learned a little lesson there. Don't be like that catfish. A lot of Christians like that, you know, they thrive on garbage. They live on garbage. Gossip, like the Athenians in Acts 17:21, it says, for all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. See, these are lost people. And as they're talking to each other, telling them, you know, whatever's on the newspaper. If you're on a job somewhere, I guarantee you, the only thing you're going to hear in the mornings is what happened yesterday, or the races, or what somebody did fishing, or something. You know, and did you hear about so and so, what he did? He's, you know, drunk and something down last night, and done this and that, and they gossiping. Ain't got nothing else to talk about. They won't talk about the Lord. Matter of fact, when you start talking about the Lord a little bit, you soon find yourself by yourself. Nowadays, now these people here are lost people, but nowadays you can't tell the difference between them anymore. I believe a lot of people say that the world is they're so worldly that you can't tell them from the lost in the world. Bible says in Proverbs 16:28, a froward, that's a perverse or deceitful or false man, soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. You know, I know two preachers around here, both of them fundamental, profess to be Bible-believing preachers, and all you had to do is mention a name of some preacher somewhere to ask them, do you know so-and-so? And they'll rattle off for 10 or 15 minutes everything that they know about that guy and how low down and sorry he did at such and such a time and what he did and why he did it and all that stuff. Gossip. Do you know that the verses that we're talking about here are referring to men? See, we always say women gossip. Matter of fact, we say women gossip. Men discuss things, see. My wife told me one time, said, no, we don't gossip. We take prayer requests. Yeah. There's a story of three pastors went fishing up in Canada. They was fishing together up in the wilderness of Canada. And they became, you know, quite cordial talking to each other back and forth with one another and began to talk about maybe their innermost thoughts. And one of them confessed that he'd been guilty of certain sins. And he told them all about it, you know, that he did something that he couldn't hardly control himself over, you know, but he tries and he asked the Lord to forgive him, all that, you know. And whenever he got through, the other one, he said he started confessing his sins He told them all a couple of things, you know, that he just had certain weaknesses and he just had a big problem with, you know. And he told them exactly what it was and everything. And then the third pastor, you know, they both of them looked over to him. He didn't say nothing. He's real quiet. And they asked him, you know, so, well, what about you, brother? he said, well, I don't think you want to know my weaknesses. He said, yeah, come on, go ahead and tell it. Said, and we kind of confessing things. It's good. Confession is good for the soul, you know. And said, well, said, I'll tell you since you insist. He said, I just love to gossip. And I just can't wait till I get home. That's it. All right, let's go to the next fish. Next fish. First fish was in the water around here in the river and the lakes. They got all these catfish in these lakes and got catfish in the rivers. We go down there to the beach, North Carolina beach down there, and you can catch flounder. Now flounder, the way you catch a flounder, of course you can catch them on the hook, but you can also catch them by you get in a boat called flounder gigging. You get in a little boat and you paddle around in the water there, in the kind of shallow water with a light down there. And you got to watch. You got to really look. I never have been flounder gigging, but my brother-in-law lived down there and he did this all the time. He's telling me all about it. You float around there on that thing and you got that light down shining down there in the water and you'll see his eyes and his head there. Can't see nothing else, Harley. You know, he's kind of blended in with all the bottom of the ocean floor there. But you go around there, well, it's in the waterway, usually where he goes flounder gigging. But anyway, you see him. You take your long stick and it's got a sharp thing on the end. Then you stick that thing in him and then you pull him up and put him in the boat. The flounder is a flat fish, and they stay close to the bottom in the ocean. And he's got several things. He's got both eyes on one side of his head. And when he's swimming, all he sees is up. Pretty water above. The scenery around, you know. Everything's just wonderful. He just sees one side of the thing, see? Do you know a lot of Christians like that? Oh, they say everything's just wonderful, you know. Oh, people are just wonderful. They don't know, they shouldn't, just because they say certain things, or just because they sit and watch TV, see, and what they do, they justify everything because everything's on TV, and plus they, just in case they want to do some of those sins, you know, then they can got something they can blame, something, or they can blame him. He's worse than I am. I mean, look what he did. Look what so-and-so did. But they always try to look on the positive side. Do you know the Bible's not that positive? The Bible's negative. It's got a positive side too. But it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's positive. But he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth, present tense, on him. A person, if you're out here and you listen to this message, and you're lost, the wrath of God abides on you right now. If you hadn't received Jesus Christ, when you die, you'll go straight to hell and you'll burn. You'll go down. That's negative, see. This Bible is a negative book. And I guarantee you, before this is over with, before the Lord comes back and gets His people out of here, it's going to be rough on Christians, especially if you try to say anything about sin. Right now, this right now was in the paper. They had a billboard. There's a group of people that got together and put a billboard up in Staten Island in New York City. And they put this billboard up, an 8-foot by 16-foot sign. And all it had was a message that said, there's a verse of Scripture. It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That's all it said. I mean, that's the Bible. That's a Bible verse. Boy, people up there just pitched a fit. They made them take it down. The company took it down, said the ads were inadvertently posted. And it was placed by a group called Keyword Ministries. And billboard company said, people may be expressing their religious beliefs, but they don't understand that these messages fan the fires of prejudice and hatred. Political correctness. That's all you hear now. Don't offend nobody. Whatever you do, don't offend nobody. This book will offend you all the way down. Matter of fact, if you've never been offended by this book, you ain't saved. Because you're going to have to say, Jesus said, I come to save that which was lost. You got to see yourself lost. He said, I come not to save the righteous, but sinners. He said, He didn't come to say. He said he didn't come to get all the good people, all the rich and nice and clean people. He came to save sinners. If you have to see yourself a lost sinner. People don't like that word anymore. Sinner. You have to see yourself a lost sinner before you can be saved. You know that? No salvation unless you see it. I knew I was going to hell, and I knew I was going to burn forever if I didn't get saved. And I got saved. If you never seen yourself lost and on your way to a devil's hell without hope, without God in this present world, you're still lost, and you need to get saved. I mean, the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. Those people up there would have been a lot better off if they had hearkened to some counsel, that billboard up there in New York. Of course, that place is diverse now. That's what's the matter. The Bible says, woe unto them leave house to house. That's bad. You know that? Diverse. I think God's a separatist. I think you ought to separate from everything. Separate from people. Most time it's integration, school integration. That's killed. They've got a federal school system now. I ain't gonna get on phone with that. I get off on that. I'll just be here all night, all the evening, all night. We'll get on something else. All right, another thing about a flounder is their markings blend in with their surroundings. It's hard to see a flounder in the water. If you're out there a flounder gigging and you're looking for them, you can't hardly see them. You got to really watch. They blend in with the sand and all in there. They kind of brown looking, like the sand. That's like some Christians. They go along with their friends. Friends get up there telling dirty jokes. Their friend, they laugh and go on, cackle, off-color jokes. This whole TV sitcom thing is all sexual innuendos and all kind of... It's brainwashing what it is. You need to watch what you watch on that TV. Like I heard a preacher say, it's a glass sewer. That's exactly what it is. Back in the 50s, this one guy said, I think he said damn or something or other, and they took him right off there. Now, that ain't nothing. They say anything on primetime TV. See? Anything. Profanity is the effort of a feeble mind trying to express itself forcibly. Take the Lord's name in vain. How about you preachers out there? Around here, I don't know how it is other places, but around here, preachers get up and they'll get to preaching and they'll say, bless God this and bless God that and bless God this. And they're no more blessing God. They, you know what they're doing? They're taking God's name in vain. You think about that a while. That's a sin. They're trying to think of something else to say or trying to put they're just like people cussing, same thing. They say things like that to put some power behind it, see? This book, if you quote a verse, that's the power. That's the power. Right there. People, Christians, blend in with their surroundings. Do the people around you know you're a Christian? Why not? You ever tried to find out if any of your friends are saved? Why not? Huh? You need to. You'll see them again at the great white throne judgment, and you'll see God kick them off into hell. You better try to find out whether they're saved or not. If they're your friends, or your enemies, either one. You wouldn't want your enemies to be kicked off into hell. You need to live your life so that the people around you know you're a Christian. And your speech they ought to know by your speech that you're a Christian. Don't blend in with the world. Separate. John Wesley said, anything that cools my love for Jesus Christ is the world. Are you a worldly Christian? In James 4:4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And a Christian that goes along with that wickedness and try to blend in is like leaving your wife and going to another man's wife. Or going to from the bride of Christ to the bride of Satan. You need to separate yourself from this ungodly, filthy world. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Speak up for Him. What He done for you, He got you out of hell and you won't speak up for Him? Something's wrong. You better start talking to him about it and get that thing straightened out. You're liable to die just any time, absent body, present of the Lord. What if you've seen him right now? What if he come to your house? What you got in your house? Would you mind him going in there and looking at everything that you got in your house? If you're saved? If you're saved and profess to be a Christian, would you mind him coming in and looking around in your magazine rack and your books and look at the stations that you watch on TV, watch them with him, and if you watch TV, and look at the what you got on your computer? How about that? Amen, Brother Tommy. Thank you. Let's look at another one. Let's go back to the... We're in the ocean. Let's go back to the freshwater fish now. Go out there and throw your reel out there in a lake, you know, calm lake there, and catch a big mouth bass. The Bible says, the Psalm of David in Psalm 39:1 says, I said, I will keep my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And this kind of goes along with the same thing about this flounder. It says, even in James 3:5-6 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it, the tongue, is set on fire of hell. You know, people can get mad at anything, and they'll start running their mouth and say things they ought not say. And a big mouth bass, you know what you can do? He doesn't have to be hungry to bite. You take a plug and you cast it over right close to a stump or something. They'll lay around a stump, so it's all like that, you know, over the edge of the water, the river or the lake. You cast it over there, you know, and drag it by. And you cast it again, drag it by, and cast it again. It'll make him mad. And he'll bite that thing whether he's hungry or not. He'll attack it. And then he's hooked. Your testimony is the most important thing you have. Do you know that? Outside of being saved. Of course, it's a testimony. It's a testimony that you are saved. And everybody watches you. If you're, if they know you're a Christian, everybody's going to watch you. They're going to try to find something wrong with you, so they can justify their sins. Well, so-and-so does it. He's professing to be a preacher or a Christian now. You get mad sometimes, you know, working and something happens, and you get mad. You better watch it. You'll say things you shouldn't. You'll do things you shouldn't. And people will never forget it. Never forget it. Somebody said one time, what you are speaks so loud, people can't hear what you say. That is, if you're trying to witness to them, they ain't going to pay no attention to you. Your neighbors, your family, they know you real good, see. You got to watch your testimony. You get mad and do things we shouldn't, people around us will never forget it. I had a part-time job one time, and I was putting in cable at this company. I had Brother Whitman on TV at this cable company, and the guy, I told him I'd like to get a part-time job, you know, maybe it was during Hugo came through here and tore down lines and everything else, a Hurricane Hugo. And so I got a job helping putting those lines back up and putting them in houses and redoing the lines going into the houses that was tore down and all that. And I'd been witness to this guy at work for a good while. And the one time I told him, I started talking to him, and they're trying to get him to come to church or make sure he's saved, you know, or get saved. And he said, well, look at you. You putting that cable in there, and that ain't nothing putting in the Showtime and HBO and all that stuff. I'm just as good as you is, see, what to say. Well, that's when I quit. And then I come back to him and told him, you ain't going to use me as an excuse to go to hell. You know what you need to do? You know, watch your testimony. Even if making money, you got to watch it. Money ain't everything. Do you know your fellowship with the Lord is the most important thing in your Christian life? You need to stay in fellowship with the Lord, talking to Him. You love the Lord? If you love Him, you'll talk to Him. If you love Him, you'll talk to others about Him. Another thing about a bass is they swim close to the top of the water. Sort of like a fence-straddling Christian. Some Bible believers, you know, they'll say this, so-and-so, yes, sir, you get a Bible believer, you know, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, yes, sir, I sure do. And then they get around to another group that don't believe it, and they say, well, yeah, you're probably right. The italicized words, you know, they're not in the real text. They're not the text, sir. It's a, they could be right or could be wrong. It's something added by the translators, you know, and so forth. And you swimming close to the top of the water, you'll watch that stuff. If you believe, you ought to believe exactly what this book right here says. You don't need any Greek. You don't need any Hebrew. You don't need another translation. All you need is to read this book and believe exactly what it says. God preserved this book. He didn't preserve the Hebrew and He didn't preserve the Greek. He preserved the English in the King James 1611 Authorized Version. If He didn't preserve it in a perfect form, we ain't got a Bible. You ain't got nothing to stand on. You can't say whether you saved or lost. You can't be sure you're saved or lost. You can't base it on a feeling. The devil gave you a feeling. Well, let's come to the last one here. Last one is the best one. Go back to the ocean and see if we can catch a dolphin. Now this is the one we ought to be like, the dolphin. The Bible says, whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish. That's stupid, see. You ought to love instruction. You ought to love knowledge. You willing to be taught? You know, a dolphin is one of the smartest animals in the world. They've been taught to perform all kind of things and shows, you know, and water shows, cut flips and all kind of things. They're smart. The Navy uses them a lot to do different things. Go down where a diver can't go down and perform some kind of a duty. And they're real smart. And they learn. They want to learn. They have the ability to communicate to each other, and we should too. We should be wanting to learn. Bob, you need to get in this book right here and learn on your own. You don't have to have a preacher teach you. If you can read English, you can learn something right here from this book. All you have to do is start reading it and believing it. Rightly divide it and compare scripture with scripture. Here a little, there a little. You ought to be willing to be taught, though. If you come to a local church and be taught, not rebelling every time you hear something you never heard before. You ought to be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. I was taught a lot of things wrong before. When I was, after I was first saved, went to the Southern Baptist Church. And I was saved in the Southern Baptist Church. And I really wasn't taught to get in the Bible and read it. Got backslid on the Lord, and I was 30 years old before I got back right with the Lord. But one thing, I didn't have an authority, a final authority. My factor got messed up in all these different translations, and it's a good while before I got straightened out about it. But I finally found out that the King James Bible is the very words of God, and I didn't need any Greek or Hebrew. And you know, it doesn't matter how fine a fellow your preacher is, or your fellow you see on TV, or how he can jump and run the rails and jump up on the pews and run back and forth and holler and shout, and it don't matter about that. It's what he says. And you better compare what he says to what that book says. If you don't, you're going to get in trouble. You need to believe exactly what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of God, the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you believe, in you that believe. If you believe what this book says, as you read it, it'll work in you. It'll straighten out your life. It'll help you. Next thing about a dolphin. They'll help a companion when he's in trouble. Most of the time we hear about a brother in the Lord, something happened to him, we want to kick him while he's down instead of helping. In 1969, a dolphin was harpooned from a research ship. And wounded, he started going down. Six other dolphins came along beside him and pushed him back up so he could breathe. You know, they breathe. Six other dolphins. If that had been a Baptist, something happened to a Baptist preacher, or something happened to a Christian, you know, you'd say, I knew he wasn't really saved. You know, if he was really saved, he would have done that, you know. Yeah. You see a brother and Lord wounded, what do you do? Gloat over his troubles? I pray for him and help him if possible. You ought to help the lost. They're drowning in sin. And if they die in that situation, they're going to burn forever and ever and ever and ever in a lake of fire. And you could stop it. You could get them saved. If you ask the Lord to help you, and you pray for them, and give them the Word of God, being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the reason we put out these scripture signs all over the place. To put out the Word of God so people read it. They won't read it now. They don't have the Word of God in most churches now. All they got is the NIV and New American Standard Version and the Revised Version and New Revised Version and new Revised NIV or whatever. So you have to put out the Word of God. It takes the Word of God to do the work. I can carry the Word of God with me, but it takes the Word of God to do it. The Holy Spirit bears witness with His Word. That's what He bears witness with. Not the man, but His Word. Alright. You got a question for me. Are you teachable? You ought to be teachable. You ought to get in this book. Which fish do you represent? The catfish? Do you feed on the garbage of this world? How about the flounder? You think everybody's all right. God's too good to send people to a literal burning hell. Do you blend in with the world, ashamed of Jesus Christ? Are you a big mouth bass? Do you about bridle your tongue? Are you a fence straddling, swimming close to the top of the water? Or are you like the dolphin? Are you teachable and willing to help out folks and try to learn this book? And be a good steward and a good testimony for Jesus Christ. Let's go to one prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for helping me preach this message. I pray, Father, that you'd bless it. Lord, I know I can't do anything without thee, Lord. I know that I pray that you'd take this word of God and I pray that you'd use it for your honor and your glory. And I pray that you'd help each one that listens to whoever they are, whoever they are, Lord. I pray that you'd help them and help them to get in your book and believe your book and be a good Christian testimony in these last days. And I say, like you said in the last book in your word, even so come, Lord Jesus, and get us out of this wicked, ungodly world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.